This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Yeah, big performance from us. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, the club and the team had really backed themselves into a corner. And obviously, I came in late in proceedings and needed to try and get a reaction out of a group of players that just maybe had lost their way somewhat. And I have to say, since day one, since I walked through the door, they've been fantastic in terms of their application and wanting to turn the situation that they found themselves in around. And they've continued to work hard and train correctly and apply themselves. Even when we had results and things go against us, it never diminished our belief that we'd get out of this. And they've gone up again today and shown that they're good quality players. They've got good heart. They've got good emotion and empathy for the club, and they deserved everything they got tonight. No, it's not mathematically certain. We had to come here and we had to win. That's why we're celebrating. If we hadn't won today, then it would have been very, very difficult for us. So you can understand the emotion that we displayed. It's not done yet. We understand that, but it's about making sure that tonight we put ourselves in the position that the game at the weekend, we need to navigate correctly, but we've got a great chance to stay up now.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9.
That's Southampton boss Mark Hughes speaking after a massive 1-0 win over relegation rivals Swansea during the midweek action. Hello there, this is our penultimate Friday show of the season. I'm Ross. You're listening to Thank Friday It's Football. In the studio with me, we've got Bob Holmes.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Bob. We've got Arvin Sidhu.
Good evening, everyone.
Hello. Thanks for joining us, Arvin. And Gogolin is late. It must be the traffic. Oh, wait a second. Do we sound different to you? I mean, does this show sound different to everybody? It's like we're under a new kind of... We're being governed by new people. Yeah, well done, Malaysia. So much to talk about. Final weekend of the season. First, though, a lot of midweek action. A lot of teams played their games in hand. And we heard Southampton's Mark Hughes at the start of the show. It was Swansea 0, Southampton 1. It was, Bob, the proverbial six-pointer.
Absolutely. I mean... Swansea are down, aren't they? Even though mathematically they can scrape up, but
there's a nine goal swing.
They're looking for City to provide about six or seven, and they've still got to get two or three themselves.
Two in their last eight.
Yeah. So it's they're down. They're down. Sadly, because we will miss Mr. Carvajal, won't we? We've had him on. He's been the manager you've used at the start of the show a couple of times.
What went wrong with him? Because he started off with a bang, five wins, right? And then I understand he started to get defensive.
Yeah, well, this often happens when you get a guy who's got a bit of a checkered past as a manager, not a great manager, been around the block, but got a good personality, can talk. You often get a bounce immediately. But then when that wears off, they haven't got an awful lot to follow it. And I think that's what happened here. I mean, he's a good guy, a lively character, and you can imagine the players responding to him. But basically, they aren't good enough. And just having a personable manager with a few jokes isn't enough.
Now, this actually started the night before. I understand Southampton were made to move hotels. They were booked into the Marriott, and they had to stay in Cardiff in the end. Apparently, some illness outbreak. Mark Hughes mentioned it, and he reckoned there was a bit of foul play. But credit to Hughesy, because it was a defender. I forgot his name. He got injured. And Mark Hughes decided to throw on Manolo Gabbiadini, a striker for a defender, and went for broke, and it worked.
Yeah, at this stage of your career, at this stage season, what is vital is the goals. And it was very clear that Gabbiadini has not been prolific by any means, but that does not take away the talent that the striker has. He comes in, he gets a goal, it's a bit of a scrappy goal, but even before that, if you watch that game quite closely, Charlie Austin was actually being threatening. He was taking shots at Fabianski. Southampton looked like the home squad, the home team to a certain extent. So it was quite disappointing from Swansea's point of view, because you would think that in this game where the 3 points is what you need, you're at home, the Liberty Stadium didn't come across as a place that was raucous enough. It didn't come across as a place that Southampton would be scared to go to. And by all means, this is what happens in football. The away team comes, they snatch and grab 3 points, and you know how much it's going to be worth for them to stay in the Premier League right now.
Yeah, and it was a scruffy goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Really, I mean, he just pounced. A striker's instinct, he was there in the thick of things. But, I mean, it seemed to take a couple of ricochets before it actually crossed the line. I don't know who had the final touch, but he's getting credit for it. But he's an interesting case. I mean, when he first signed, he was scoring a goal a game, wasn't he?
Yes.
And then he went right off the boil and couldn't get a look in. To be fair to Mark Hughes,
in his last 41. That's his stats.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a fullback's goal ratio, isn't it? And he's supposed to be. Well, he is.
That's an Italian shy fullback.
He's an Italian international striker.
Yeah,
yeah. But when he first came, it was a goal a game.
He scored famously against United, right?
Yeah.
Turned it round.
That's right. So you wonder what happened to him. But Mark Hughes hasn't had him for long. I mean, Mark Hughes is new, obviously, to the job. So it's his predecessor. I think you've got to ask the questions about Pellegrino. Pellegrino as opposed to Pellegrini. Manuel, I think, same, wasn't it? No, he was a bit of a disaster. And Southampton have got to ask themselves, you know, just what they were doing with managers in the last couple of years.
Yep.
And they're lucky to have scraped up, in my opinion.
But it's funny how these appointments tend to work when it comes to the trends. You had Carlos Carvajal that came in, and like we spoke about just now, he did well at the beginning, but then it's kind of seemed to have either faded out or he's kind of lost steam along the way. Hughes has been an appointment that's come after that, and Hughes has been able to keep the Saints in the division. So I guess timing of when you appoint these managers are critical, but what Hughes has been appointed to do, he's done. Unfortunately for Swansea, it's very unfortunate that team, again, I keep saying it, they play really nice football, but they just lack goals. When you have Sam Clucas and Jordan Ayew trying to be your main threat, you know it's going to be a problem for you.
Swansea have failed to score in 8 different Premier League home games this season. That's more than any other side in the league, and that is why they are almost definitely playing Championship football next season. Huddersfield aren't. Huddersfield went to Stamford Bridge. It was Chelsea 1, Huddersfield 1. The Terriers produced a defensive masterclass. Can I call it that, Bob? A defensive masterclass.
Well, that's one way of putting it. I don't think the patrons at Chelsea, Stamford Bridge, were too enamoured with it. But they were more angry at their own manager.
Exactly.
The side he picked. I think that was the story there. And basically not entirely blowing their Champions League chances, but reducing them slightly. I mean, if Liverpool do beat Brighton on Sunday, Chelsea wouldn't make it anyway.
Mm.
But, you know, if they'd won, it would have put more pressure on Liverpool. They would have had to win, whereas now they can manage with a draw.
Mm.
And that, you know, that can be significant.
Well, Huddersfield's draw means that all 3 promoted teams have avoided relegation this season. It's only the 3rd time this has happened in the Premier League. 2001, 2002, 2011, 2012, and this year.
That's a stat for you right there. But I agree with Conte. It was very surprising that he had Olivier Giroud that was actually doing really well and getting in the goals for him, scores a winning goal against Liverpool, and then he drops him. He brings Morata in, which to a certain extent, I can get why he's trying to do it. But when you want to keep that consistency up towards the FA Cup final, you want to play your best players and the ones on form. And he did it on the day, 1-1, and now it's going to potentially cost them a chance in to the qualification for the Champions League.
Mm.
Yep.
Gogs is here. Thanks for joining us, Gogs.
Heavy traffic, mate. I don't know why everybody's around.
Huddersfield. We're talking about Huddersfield, how well they've done to stay up by getting a point at Chelsea.
I know. I saw the celebrations in the end, and it was like, you know, I thought Huddersfield would bang on to go down in January.
Yeah, and David Wagner. I mean, they still look favourite to go down next season, right?
Well, they were odds-on favourites odds-on favourites to go down this season, weren't they? In fact, they were favourites to go down last season when they were in the Championship. Can you believe?
Yeah.
It's quite an incredible achievement that David Wagner has pulled off there. I mean, you talk about Manager of the Year. A lot of people have been mentioning other people besides Pep, and David Wagner is one of them. This is an absolutely amazing achievement. Their total budget was £40 million. Now, Man City paid more than that for one fullback.
Yeah, one fullback.
And I was reading that their wages, they pay something like 11.5 million a year. Mm. That just about covers Eden Hazard's yearly pay. Which is a great, well done. Well done to Huddersfield. They will play Premier League football next year. Leicester 3, Arsenal 1, Arsene Wenger. I mean, it's all gone a bit flat. This is long goodbye.
We always speak about being at the beach, right?
Yeah.
These guys, I mean, after that Atletico game, I think, you know.
No,
I thought they would have, you know, raised it up for him.
That's what's so disappointing. Yeah. Last week was the talk of Leicester being on the beach. And Leicester exactly. come back and completely outplayed them and outfought them. And Wenger is just... Okay, he had that good home game, that 5-0 against Burnley to confirm that he's going to be in the sixth place and Burnley are going to be in the seventh place. But the least you can do for your manager when you go away from home, which they've been doing horrible this season at the turn of the year. They've not got a single point away from home. But at least show some fight. They showed total lack of fight. Of course, the centre-back got sent off and that helped Leicester. But there was absolutely no fight in that Arsenal team. And I can understand now to a certain point why Arsenal fans just want to have that new chapter with a new manager come in.
Because but still, I understand it all went flat after the Atletico game. But like you said, you know, this is Arsenal. You know, you got to raise your game to a certain level. And you have Arsene Wenger, 22 years in charge, leaving. The least you could do is show up.
Sadly, that might be Claude Puel's last home game as well in charge of Leicester. I don't know what it is with him. Bad BO, I'm going to put it down to. He needs new deodorant. Apparently, he might be looking for a job in the summer. All right, very quickly before we go to the break, Man City 3, Brighton 1. It was Yaya Toure's big goodbye game. 317 or 16 games he's played for the club. And along the way they've surpassed Chelsea's 95 point tally. They've scored 104 goals this season. Bloody blah bloody blah. Well done.
all the records, goals scored, points, wins. They've all done it, and that's a testament to the type of football that they played. Yaya Toure will be happy. Actually, at the end of the game, he didn't get a birthday cake, so I don't know if he'll be happy.
But
any form of a cake at the end of the day.
His brother
came out.
His brother presented him to with a shirt. Right. What I didn't like was the tune. Two unlimiteds, no limits.
No limit.
1993 hit. Yeah, bad. Very bad Euro pop.
must have some significance to him.
But no, we're taking things away from City. They've been stupendous, right?
They are.
A double this season.
Yeah, they've been almost too good, haven't they? You know, if it's possible. People get blasé about it.
Mm.
You know, when they're so superior to everyone else. You know, it's not... anything much to talk about anymore, is it?
You have a point. It's like you said, the manager of the year thing. I mean, Pep in any other league would have been, you know, what he has done.
I think he'll get it. He's got to get
it. Yeah, he's definitely getting it. But, you know, the fact that we even talk about it is that we become so blasé.
I don't know. If Liverpool win the Champions League, wouldn't Klopp be in with a shout from manager?
Really? Yeah. You think?
Yeah, but it is Premier League.
Good point.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Dyche has also been mentioned.
Yeah, exactly.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's one or two. Yeah.
But Roy Hodgson deserves a shout.
Yeah.
What separates City from the rest of the pack in this game is that you can clearly see that when they bring their players that don't get that much of gaming time, the likes of Bernardo Silva, Leroy Sané, who's had some games, but he's coming.
He's been super.
He's got a hat trick of asses. Yeah. Bernardo Silva comes in, scores goals. Danilo gets a goal.
Yeah.
So. It's to a point that when you see that squad and you look at who's on the bench, you can tell the quality of City compared to the rest.
That's what he rectified from last season, right?
Yep.
Because he saw what he needed at that first season. He saw where the weaknesses were. And now look at the strength and depth they have, right? And to go through that season, this season, with that amount of defeats, right, speaks volumes. And battling on four fronts at that point.
Okay. Yeah. Well, brilliant stuff, Man City. We're going to our first break. Stay tuned.
Hello, I'm Oscar Riles. I won the World Cup, I've been in a Hollywood movie, and I work with Jason Day. But saying this is the most important of them all. Saint Friday is football on BFM 89.9.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9.
Thanks for sticking with us, Bob, Gogolin and Arvind in the studio previewing then the final weekend of the EPL season. Second place Man United, it is theirs now, second. That 0-0 draw against West Ham confirmed it. Made me stay up. And
yeah, just more to ask.
Do you know what I mean? Anyway, they entertain Watford at Old Trafford. It is, I understand, Jose Mourinho is going to get sentimental and let Captain Michael Carrick play his last game ever.
Wow. It's a dead rubber, right?
He wasn't sentimental last night, was he?
No, he wasn't. But, I mean, you can't really blame Jose Mourinho. He gave players a chance and... You can understand when he came out and said, people ask me why Lukaku
won't stop. There's a point. I mean, I asked a lot of United fans about that when I came out, and it's, you know, they all said the same thing, you know, that the rest don't step up.
That there has been a question right now because Anthony Martial and Rashford didn't play last night, right? There has been a question about why haven't they developed to a point of when we expected them to burst on the scene like what they did last season, right? And he's come on and he's basically said that I've given them chances. He's actually named his lineup for this Sunday. He's actually said that Marshall and Rashford are going to play.
Yep.
And I'm giving them the chances, but they're not doing it.
Yep.
I will not take it away from Jose that he's given them the opportunities, but he also has to be in a position where he's creating that environment for them to improve, which I don't think he has done that.
Because he doesn't know which system he's playing.
He doesn't know which system he's playing. Exactly. So he's coming across a little bit defensive, but he's really hyping up the fact that, you know, we've got second, is brilliant. We've come behind a great team. We've still done really well. Best points since Ferguson left. So he's pumping himself up and keeping it positive, which is good going up to the FA Cup final. But is it really progress? I don't know.
For Watford, they snapped a 7-game winless run by beating Newcastle last weekend. You can't blame Watford if they're at the beach already, Bob.
No, well, some of these teams carry the beach with them. Arsenal certainly do. Getting back to Jose, I beg to differ a little there, Arvin, on giving Martial and Rashford chances.
Enough chances.
These are strikers.
Yeah, they need that consistent run.
Strikers need to play more than other players because it's that instinct, isn't it? That half second, that
developing
chance,
understanding,
reflexes. Yeah. And if you're in the reserves and you just come on and 5 minutes at the end of a game that has already decided, it's not the same. And Rashford, I mean, think back to the Liverpool game at Old Trafford when Rashford was being hailed as world class. Well, that first goal that he scored was absolutely brilliant. Young striker like that, absolute dynamite. What happens? He hardly plays him after that. I think he played him in the next game because he had to. But after that, he's used sparingly again. Now, what does that do to the kid? I mean, you wouldn't blame Rashford if someone came in for him.
Well,
Liverpool, for example. I bet he'd rather play for Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, you might have a point there. There's a lot of talk of Anthony Martial. There's going to be a big clear-out.
I thought he's one of the names on the clear-out,
right? Anthony Martial definitely
Martial's
is.
On his way out.
Back to what Bob was saying. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but Jose Mourinho has a system, and he's managing Man United, which means results matter. So if these players don't do it in two games, he will go back to his type, which is Lukaku up front and all that, because he knows they will deliver. He's under a lot of pressure as a United manager to deliver results. He cannot afford a two weeks off with Rashford and Martial. That's why he doesn't trust them. I understand what you're trying to say. Another manager, that's why I say these type of players should go on loan or be sold to play at teams like that need them. They will be playing them week in, week out.
But Rashford is not a mug. He's an international player. Exactly. He's one of the hottest young strikers around.
But he's not Jose Mourinho's type of player.
I guess that's where our concerns are. That I see where you're coming from. That he's always had that prototype that you've got that one battering ram up front
holding
with Lukaku,
up the ball,
right? Holding up the ball. He never plays an up two. He never gives an opportunity for Rashford and Lukaku to play as a top two. He's always putting him on the left, expecting him to come in. But that's not his position.
Can you imagine how fearsome those
two are? If you played a 4-4-2 direct with them and you played the ball through the middle with the pace they have, with a backpedaling defense.
Even Martial and Rashford, give them a run of five games. I'm sure you'd see goals.
Yeah,
right?
I know what you're saying. He's he's got to deliver results. But when he applied for the job, he wrote this groveling letter, and he promised to do all the things that a United manager is expected to do, including encourage youngsters. And United are still the only club that have actually had somebody from the academy play in every season for the last 20-odd years, I think, at the time of the Premier League. And that means a lot to them. And Rashford is the player, is the star of the academy, isn't he? He's the homegrown kid, made good.
One of their own.
Yeah, and he's in the England setup. He's not certain to go to the World Cup simply because he hasn't played enough. But that's not Mourinho's concern. But Rashford is a genuinely hot prospect and should be encouraged. And I don't think that Mourinho is fulfilling his promises to the club when he said he would be a different Mourinho. He would observe all the traditions of United. When he took the job, he realized this is not anybody, this is Man United, etc., etc. And it's the same old Mourinho, and he's gone back on his word. And frankly, I don't think he's the manager that he was. Arsene Wenger, halfway through his 22 years, he was no good. And Arsenal had to put up with him for 11 years. They won the FA Cup three times, nothing else. Mourinho, I think, is going the same way. He's done precious little since Inter Milan.
But the difference is Mourinho will pick up a Capital One Cup here, an FA Cup there.
Just to keep him ticking.
Community Shield even.
And he counts them as well.
But I understand, because the game has moved on. The game is evolving in a way. Look at Pep has come and now changed the goalposts in the way of the football management. Look at how he managed a team full of stars. Week in, week out.
With style.
With the amount of money that he has spent, Jose Mourinho, regardless of who he shifts out, he will continuously spend. It's come to a point that the third season, we spoke about at the beginning of this season, that this is his second season syndrome where he's going to deliver the big ones.
Supposedly.
He has not delivered the big ones. He's got an opportunity to win the FA Cup, which he will pump up and say that it's great, we've finished second. But the point is, honestly, if he does not deliver one of the big ones next season, he should be gone, because it's Manchester United at the end of the day.
All right. Well, as far as Watford are concerned, Eunice Kabul, Tom Cleverley, Tommy Hoba and Stefano Okaka are all out. Andre Carrillo and Nathaniel Chalobah are available and could be in contention. Second, then, place 13, United versus Watford, Sunday, 10 o'clock kickoff. All the games kick off at the same time this Sunday at 10 p.m. Spurs in third against Leicester City in ninth. Now, Spurs have qualified for Champions League, but for them not to lose third, they need to win, because Liverpool can knock them into fourth, and that means a qualifier, right, in the Champions League.
Spurs
have qualified.
There's no qualifier, but it would be the seeded pot, so where he's seeded.
Only team now in question is the Liverpool, right, and Chelsea for the Champions League.
Yeah. Well, as far as Spurs are concerned, this game is all about Harry Kane getting three goals or more. Three would equal Mo Salah's 31 in the Premier League. Four would see him win the Golden Boot outright.
Providing Salah doesn't do something in his game.
Salah hasn't done
any precious much since.
Well, he might die.
He might die.
But Spurs, third, Bob. Good season?
The hesitation tells you, doesn't it? Okay.
Promise so much.
Yeah, not as good as we thought.
I would only say it's okay because of the Wembley issue. Otherwise, we would have expected a bit much more from Spurs this season.
I mean,
they finished trophyless.
Yeah, no trophies. They've had their moments. They thrashed Borussia Dortmund, Real Madrid. Played very well against Juventus.
Yeah.
And all that. Got over the Wembley curse. And they're third. And they're back in the Champions League. So it's not a failure. But it really wasn't the success it could and should have been.
Honestly, for me, they played the best football I've seen this season.
Next is Man City.
Liverpool. We won't talk about City. Even Liverpool, the whole team, I would think Spurs played actually very good, attractive football.
We speak about Wembley, and I agree with you that at the start of the season, they had some challenges. Then they overcame it and they started beating the big boys. But when it came to really delivering Wembley FA Cup semi-final against United, they froze. this team doesn't have the maturity it needs to go to that final.
That's my point. Yeah.
And that's what he's been saying, that, you know, I need a little bit of time. And he's actually come out and said that I could be the manager or it could be someone else. Mm. But the development of Spurs needs to continue. But a trophy has to come. If it's a League Cup, if it's an FA Cup, something has to come.
So this is my question. How long will these players stay with Spurs?
Yeah, that's what the biggest concern is.
Right? Because, again, another season trophyless. Yes, they promise so much potential, very good football, pleasing in the eye, young manager, young team. How long are this team going to stay together?
Yeah, because they're only on half the money that some of them could get elsewhere. So, yeah, trophies are nice. And
this is a World Cup year, mind you.
Yeah, yeah. So they'll do well to hang on to them.
And also, you've got to keep in mind the financial restrictions of moving into the redeveloped White Hart Lane as well. Which is going to come into play as well. Yeah. Mm. And we've seen what Arsenal have had to battle for years
when they were moved to the Emirates and one hand tied behind his back in the transfer market.
And he's come on and literally said that if it was the opportunity for giving me the chance to do it again, would I do it? No, I would not do it, because that were the challenges that a manager is going to face. With the reduced wages that Spurs play to players, you've got the likes of Harry Kane, you've got the likes of Dele Alli. See what's happening with Toby Alderweireld. Toby Alderweireld cannot get into the team, but it's to a point that you can see him moving on because he knows he can get a better deal somewhere else.
Every player in that Spurs first starting 11 can get into a team.
And the perfect example is Kyle Walker
exactly.
Moves on, gets a Premier League medal.
They are going to be looking over the shoulder thinking, hang on a minute, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
More money, an opportunity to win trophies.
Or on the go on the continent.
Exactly.
Increase your profile.
Exactly. And even the manager might be thinking that as well.
I think the Real Madrid game was audition for the Real Madrid job when they beat Real Madrid at Wembley.
For Leicester, is it crazy for them to want to get rid of Puel for next season?
Well, in the eyes of the owners, it probably isn't, because they are trigger happy, aren't they?
But what do you expect as Leicester City? What is your big plan? Do you want to play attractive football? I mean, do you want to push for top six?
Yeah, good point. Right? You should tell the owners.
I do speak a bit of Thai.
He does drop by the duty free once in a while.
They got rid of Ranieri. Everyone knows the story. Ranieri, and then the guy that saved them from relegation.
And then Craig Shakespeare.
Craig Shakespeare, they got rid of him. And now it looks like they're going to get rid of Claude Puel, who didn't save them from relegation. They weren't quite that low. But he did actually improve their fortunes considerably.
Mm. Yep.
But he seems to have lost it a bit, hasn't he? Apart from this was out of the blue. But it was only against Arsenal, the 5-0 win. But apart from that, they've done nothing lately at all, have they?
Good point. All right, Spurs third, Leicester ninth, Sunday, 10 o'clock kickoff. We're off for another break, back after this.
Hi, I'm Vicky Tradell, the British High Commissioner, and thank Friday, it's football.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9.
Thanks a lot for sticking with us, Bob Gogolin and Arvind in the studio. You can tweet the guys at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp on 018-789-8899. Follow us on Facebook, like the page. It's football on BFM. Liverpool in fourth, take on Brighton in 14th. The fact that I'm saying Brighton in 14th, I think, is quite amazing. Because, they've done great. But Liverpool, how much concentration will be on this nothing game for them when they've got Real Madrid on their minds?
It's not a nothing
game. It's not a nothing game.
it's a very important game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
unless, of course,
for them. Jurgen Klopp could have done without this, actually. They slipped up against West Brom and Stoke at home. Two comfortable-looking home games where they were expected to pick up maximum points, and they wouldn't have had any worries about this. They could have rotated the squad and picked juniors and all sorts.
Well, they need a draw, at least, against Brighton.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate sort of ending to the season, really, for Liverpool. They've got into this situation, I think, through their exertions in the Champions League. I think that did affect them, particularly the last two, the quarterfinal and semi-final. Epic encounters, weren't they? Both of them, four games.
Yeah.
And it drained them. And it certainly drained Mo Salah, who's not looked the same player since he got the Player of the Year award. Often happens, doesn't it? But I think he'll rouse himself for one final fling, hopefully against Real Madrid. He could do with doing it against Brighton just to ensure that place, because it would be a tragedy if Liverpool weren't in the Champions League next season. Even if they have to go and beat Real Madrid to get there, which they would if they were champions,
but,
of course.
But
you know, you can't guarantee that, obviously.
But aren't they like technically already in, because Chelsea need to score like 15 goals or something?
No. Chelsea can go above them.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was...
If they lose. It's 2 points.
Chelsea win, yeah.
Yeah, Chelsea.
Oh, 2 points. Yeah.
Chelsea need a win, and Liverpool need to lose. But I mean, Brighton to win at Anfield, it was 5-1 at the Amex Stadium. I remember Roberto Firmino scoring twice. Yeah, Brighton have done well. You can't blame them if they're at the beach, because it's just down the road, literally, off the pier to the left a little bit.
The seagulls over there.
Seagulls, yeah.
But for Liverpool, Joe Gomez is out. Emre Can, apparently, he's been missing because of a back problem.
It's always seems to be a back problem whenever transfers are involved with Juventus.
It's the hardest injury to detect, don't you know?
Yeah. It used to be a groin strain.
Yeah, right. Back in the day.
Sorry, Mrs. Groin strain.
It's a family station, mate.
Good news is that Adam Lallana has begun full training. I reckon too late to make the England squad, no?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And that's a problem that Klopp is facing. The centre of that midfield of his is quite threadbare in terms of not having enough personnel to be able to deliver.
Hence James Milner playing every game.
And stretching himself to Ribéry and all that stuff. But Milner has been doing really quite well. I think Jordan Henderson gets a lot of critique, but he kind of, in a certain way, keeps it all together. Wijnaldum has done okay. But with Klopp, he's actually come out and said that he could do without getting a result in this game. He would have liked to have wrapped this up much earlier.
Of course, yeah.
But it is what it is. It's your final home game of the season. Give the fans what they need. I agree with Bob that you should have Salah coming in, hopefully having a good performance that will put him in good stead for the final.
Yeah.
But if Liverpool somehow don't get the result that they need, and the pressure is on them to beat Real Madrid in the Champions League final, that's a different ball game altogether.
Yeah,
that's added pressure that they don't really need.
That's a great point. All right. The record in a 38-game season, goals scored, is 31. It's currently being held by Mo Salah. He needs one more to hold the record outright. But as you say, Bob, he's been a bit off colour recently. Booked for diving in his last game as well.
Yeah, and Jurgen Klopp publicly admonished him for that.
Yeah, which you like to see in a manager, right?
But there's a pros and cons to that, I guess.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
keep it indoors. You mean tell him more, but you know, don't go PR on it.
Yeah, you don't need to tell the world.
Yeah, exactly.
You can also look at that in a different way.
Because
referees are going to think, well, Liverpool, their manager doesn't want them to dive. And in that split second that they go over in the box, they might just sway that way.
Yeah, you have a point there also.
Yep. All right, Liverpool versus Brighton, Sunday, 10 o'clock kickoff. Newcastle in 10th against Chelsea in 5th. Now, Chelsea really messed up because it was 1-1 against Huddersfield. They needed to win that, and that would have been serious pressure on Liverpool going into the final weekend. But as it stands, it's still mathematically possible. They need to win. As well as they can, just win and hope that Brighton can do them a favour. And let's face it, Newcastle, mid-table, Rafa Benitez, he should be on the beach.
There's not much of a beach up there. It's... Newcastle, I think being at home...
Might want to put on a good show for the 50-odd thousand who turn up.
That's right. They have stuck by them through thick and mainly thin, through Mike Ashley and all the troubles. And I don't think the players will want to sort of let them down in the last game of the season. Mm. They've actually done better than expected. I mean, they are a promoted side. We tend to forget that because it's Newcastle. Most of the time, they are in the top flight. Yeah. But they came up last year. And although they flirted with relegation, they've sailed safely, comfortably by it, haven't they? Thanks to Rafa. I mean, they haven't really got a top-flight player in the side. No. I mean, it's a championship side.
Yeah, we were talking about that at the beginning of the season and when they were in trouble, and you were saying, I remember Bob saying that these guys look seriously in trouble because they're still a championship side.
Yeah, yeah.
They haven't bought anybody.
They haven't changed.
They haven't had any money, right?
This is a manager who has brought them to 10th in the league with a team who you've got Ayuze Perez, who's got 7 goals. Dwight Gill has got 6. They've got strikers with Joselu, who've got 4. It's back to what he did with Liverpool in the Champions League final. Jimmy Traore winning a Champions League final. Biscan winning a Champions League final. Rafa gets the best of the little resources that he's been given. I think he's done a fantastic job. I watched them play Spurs last week, they batted Spurs in the first half.
Yeah, okay.
And he's done really well. The man deserves a lot of points for what he's accomplished. I just wish he got more of the support that he needs at this club.
So that's my point. They don't have anybody there, but they have Rafa Benitez, and that's a star name.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He's there purely for the love of. It can't be Mike Ashley keeping him there with promises, can it?
No, I think he's actually there hoping there's going to be a takeover because Amanda Staveley is back in.
Yeah.
Talking and with more money.
She saved a bit more this time. She put the shopping
in around. Yeah. So I think he needs to know whether that's going to happen or not. And if it does, I think he'll stay. Presumably he'll get a budget. If it looks dead in the water, then he's open to offers.
And
he's
could
even
do a better
been
job,
linked with the Arsenal job, hasn't he?
Yep. I was just about to say that.
Yeah, and Arsenal could do worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. All right, Newcastle 10th. Chelsea 5th, Sunday 10 o'clock. Southampton in 17th against champions Man City. Southampton's are within touching distance of Premier League survival. As Bob mentioned before, it's a 9-goal swing. Mm. So if Southampton get thrashed, 6-0 by City at home and Swansea win 3-0, that might be enough.
That isn't going to happen. the early season City at home might have got 6 or 7, but away from home with everything done and dusted.
All the records broken.
No. Well, the only target now is to get 100 points.
100 points, yeah.
Which is a win.
Yeah. I mean, that's worth having, isn't it? 100 points, that could last for a while, you know.
Yeah.
This season is remarkable. I don't see it. I don't see a team, even City, next season running away with it to quite this extent. So this record could stand for a very long time.
It has, and to a point that Mark Hughes is going up against his ex-team. He's actually managing, and he's going to go up against City. It will probably be a City professional win, a couple of goals. I don't see them totally battering Southampton. He's tightened up the defence since he's gone there, Mark Hughes, so he's done quite well in that sense. But I agree with Bob, that initiative of that 100 points is something that you will keep with you for a long time.
Mm.
100 points, 100 over goals as well. Amazing achievement. So in that extent, City to win, but not by the huge swing that Swansea are hoping for it to happen, for them to stay up.
Do you know, I was looking at this and thinking, if Southampton, obviously, they look like they're going to survive. Mm. And if they do it cleverly now, because let's face it, they've got no more gems to sell. Liverpool don't want any more Southampton players. Van Dijk was probably the last one. Yeah. So now if they buy cleverly again, you know, not Tom Clever. but you know,
I was just wondering,
be wise in the transfer market. They could actually come good again because their recruitment process has always been quite good, right?
It has been. And
their youth academy.
One thing Mark Hughes, we were trying to forget this, is he doesn't want to be known as that manager that has got two teams relegated in the same season. Stoke has gone down. He was managing Stoke and he would do everything in his power to make sure that the Saints don't go down. But Saints, they'll be able to pick up a couple of good buys from the Championship. They've always been able to groom players out of their academy. So I feel Marcus is a good option short term. I have my serious doubts whether he's good enough long term for that job. He always seems to kind of stop after a while producing the results that he needs. But it's been a good appointment for the Saints in that aspect.
Mm. Should City sack Guardiola if they don't get the 100 points?
Tweet us your answer.
Be funny if someone said yes. Alright, so that's 10 o'clock kickoff as well. 17th place Southampton versus top of the table Man City. It doesn't matter if the Saints lose, but they can't lose bad. Right, final break. Back with the rest of the weekend after this.
Hi folks, this is Tor-André Flo. Being a top striker is about great finishes. So finish your week with Thank Friday, It's Football.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9.
Thanks for sticking with us, Bob, Goggs and Arvind here. It's our penultimate Friday show of the season. We'll have one more next Friday to preview the FA Cup good and proper for you. Just to go through, continue with the weekend's final weekend's fixtures then. West Ham versus Everton. I was reading that MLS could be the direction of Wayne Rooney. Beware Washington and DC United. No, I actually think he'll be a great hit there. Apparently, Rooney wants to wait to see if Sam Allardyce is still going to be the manager.
Oh, did he say that? Or is...
Well, he wants clarification.
He said that then.
Yeah, he basically, yeah. Because there's a lot of talk that Sam won't be there. Unfair, you think, Bob? With a Sam and Everton.
A little bit. I mean, he...
He did what he was supposed to do.
He saved them. I mean, they really were panicking. That's why they went to him in the first place. And he's taken them into, what, eighth place? Eighth place. I mean, he's only just outside the Europa League, isn't he? So the criticism is a little bit over the top, but it's really all about style. I mean, I think initially there was some gratitude for having taken them to safety. But when you have to suffer the boring stuff that he plays, the long ball and all that, Everton, I mean, they pride themselves on being a footballing club. I mean, they once called themselves the School of Science. It was some time ago. They had David Moyes after that. But they didn't mind Moyes because he never had any money and he was always the underdog and he was always battling and they sort of rallied around Moyes. But now they've got money. And they spent it unwisely. So
thanks
they're expecting,
Koeman,
yeah, they're expecting better things. And Sam hasn't actually spent that much, to be fair.
And he did point out that the two he brought in, Walcott and Tosun, have been successes.
Qualified successes, I think.
he brought Mangala in on loan, and we know how that happened I think he gets a lot of stick for stuff that he actually doesn't deserve. He brought them to the point of where they are doing really well in the table. The style of play, I guess, is important. But again, do Everton fans rather have their team battling almost to a point of relegation that they were at that point under Koeman? Or do they want to have the feeling that, you know, we might be able to push on to Europe with Big Sam right now? But yeah, with Rooney, I think a lot of it will come down to the fact is the manager going to be there at the end of the season?
Everton fans are a bit delusional at this point, because they were thinking with the step up with Koeman and everything, they were going to make that step up into the, you know, top four, top six kind of thing. And they expected that kind of, with the money they spent and everything. And then reality hit in when Koeman got sacked. Allardyce came in with the same number of players, and these are all big money players who expect stylish football and all that stuff, right? Sigurdsson and all that people there. It didn't materialise in the end. Every Everton fan I spoke to wanted to see the back end of Sam Allardyce. But who's going to be there? Who's going to come in there for
Arsene Wenger has been mentioned.
And can't see him coming back to English.
Not to the Premier League anymore.
Yeah. But I understand Marco Silva is still pined for by some.
That's when the problem started with Koeman, wasn't it? With the whole Marco Silva talking at that time. I agree with you, Goggs. I mean, to the point that what do Everton fans actually expect? Right? I mean, you're getting results, you're getting, to a certain extent, some relatively okay players that are coming and playing for your team. What more do you expect at this stage of are you going to break into the top six of the other top six teams that we know? Unlikely. Yes, they've got more money right now with Farhad Moshiri behind them, but let's be a bit more reasonable in that sense.
All right.
Well, I'll stick up for Everton fans a bit here, because, I mean, they're in the shadow of Liverpool. I mean, imagine what it's been like all this time. Liverpool get the glory, don't they? Some people, overseas fans, have never even heard of Everton. I mean, it is unfortunate for them that they're a suburb of Liverpool, whereas Liverpool is Liverpool. And Liverpool have won all these trophies while Everton have been languishing. And yet, in the old days, Everton had the edge until Shankly turned it round.
Well, they won the league when English clubs were banned, right? From Europe.
Yeah.
Because of Liverpool.
I was going to come on to that.
was the best Everton
The best
side.
Everton team ever.
Yes, I remember that.
They were
Peter Reid and all.
Favourites to win the Champions League the following season.
The European Cup.
Because they won the Cup Winners' Cup.
Yeah.
They were brilliant then. Yeah. And then Liverpool fans go and muck it up for them. I mean, you've got to give them some slack.
Poor fellas.
Graham Sharp and all.
All right, ironically, West Ham versus Everton might see new managers in the dugout for both sides next season. Sunday, 10 o'clock kickoff. Swansea versus Stoke. Technically, Swansea are still alive. All they have to do, and I'm sure Carvajal is going out there to tell them that, is go out there and beat Stoke 10-0. If they did that, they've done their part.
Do you think he'd keep the job then?
No, he's not. They've come out and said that he's leaving at the end of the season.
Apparently he's gone.
He's gone. So what message do you tell your players? I'm not going to be here at the end of the season, but go out and get that 10-goal swing?
No. If you go out and get that 10-goal swing, I might be here next season.
But yeah, it's a tough ask for Swansea. I think it's come too late. That home game against Southampton, everything was riding on that.
That was
everything was riding on that, and they did not show up on that day. It's really, I think, a lot of losing battle.
Funnily enough, even though Stoke got relegated first, they look the more sound for the future. Because I understand Lambert's probably going to remain there, and if they can keep the bulk of their players and build on it, they're still a big club, right?
Yeah, it'll depend on who's on what sort of contract, whether they've got clauses whereby they can leave or, you know,
Lambert's on the same clause.
Half the money. No, talking about the players. That'll be key. But, I mean, one man changed this, you know. Arnautovic. I mean, did you see him last night?
Yeah.
Wow, he had Smalling in his pocket, didn't he?
And if only Hughes had just sold everybody else, kept Arnautovic and Shaqiri, those two might have.
Yeah, Shaqiri's still there. Yeah. But, I mean, Arnautovic is...
But Arnautovic is being played up front at West Ham. That's the difference, as opposed to on the wings Hughes.
It's exactly what Jack Butland came out and said the moment that they got relegated. We lost Marko Arnautovic, we did not replace him. And look at the recruitment that they brought in. Wilfred Bony, Saido Berenino. These are guys that you just cannot depend on. The guys that did not pull their weight, which is what Jack Butland came out and said. The recruitment has not been good enough. We tend to forgetting that Stoke is actually the second oldest club in the English division after Notts County. This is a huge club. It's been around for a really long time. And they've unfortunately not had players that have actually been professional enough. And they are getting relegated. And it's to a point that Lambert has done, I think, quite a good job to be able to consolidate it. But it really depends on like what Bob says. The contracts, who's there next season, who's not.
All right, 9-goal swing needed by Swansea then. Huddersfield versus Arsenal will mark the end of an era. Arsene Wenger will be gone. It will be his last ever game in charge of the Gunners. And are they going to bow out without an away win all season in 2018?
Well, it could happen, couldn't it? I mean, Huddersfield have done their job. I think Arsenal are fortunate in a way that Huddersfield have actually achieved.
Qualified, yeah.
They're safe now. So they'll probably relax a bit. It might give Arsenal a chance. I mean, to be talking like this.
Exactly.
Shocking, isn't it?
Shocking. Crystal Palace versus West Brom. The Eagles are 11th, and that's kudos to Roy Hodgson, who's done wonders there. West Brom, of course, too little, too late. They got... I mean, it must be the first time you win. Darren Moore wins Manager of the Month and then gets relegated. Mm. I don't think that's ever happened. That must be a pop quiz
possibly,
question.
Yeah. And he's not going to get the job either, is he?
No.
But he doesn't want it, apparently.
No.
Well, but a universally...
But it would have been one of the greatest escapes of all time, though.
Universally liked fellow, isn't he, Darren Moore? Mm. Very popular as a player as well. Pity they didn't do it even two games earlier.
Mm.
They would have had a chance.
Mm.
Yeah, but I tell you who comes out of this really, really poorly is Alan Pardew. Really.
One win in 18.
He was the guy that took them down, wasn't
he? Exactly. And we speak about manager's carousel all the time. You've got Roy Hodgson right now, who's done well with Crystal Palace, going up against his ex-team, who are relegated. So you see how the carousel of managers that happens.
All right, Burnley versus Bournemouth is the other game. Both teams survive. Sadly, there will be two more fixtures involving them next season. I'm only joking. No, wait, we're running out of time. So we're going to get a prediction or two from the chaps.
It's time for the big weekend shout brought to you by MyChris.
All right, we're going to start with Gogolin. Gogs, what's your big shout for the weekend?
Most of these games are dead rubbers, though, right?
Yeah. Swansea to win 10-0, that'll be a big shout.
Arsenal to carry on not winning away, that's my big shout.
Ooh, I'm not sure if that is a big shout. Arsenal to win would have been a big shout. Arvin, what's your big shout?
My big shout is Rafa got a tough time when he was manager at Chelsea. He wasn't liked. He delivered, I think, the UEFA Cup for them.
Yep.
But he's right now going to be at home, final game at St. James's Park against Chelsea. I predict him to actually beat Chelsea in the final game.
Which would, mind you, Conte might not care.
And Conte might not care, yeah. but it's a testament to how well Rafa has done.
Yeah, right? good point. Bob?
Well, I was going to go for that too, but in the absence of that, looking quickly down the fixture list.
I know, right? Liverpool.
No. Liverpool will win. That's not a big shout, by the way. Have we said Crystal Palace? Have we mentioned them? West Brom?
No, we have not. Nope.
No, well, that's not really a big shout, is it? Very difficult, this, isn't it?
Bob is stumped.
I'll go for West Ham.
West Ham Everton.
West Ham Everton. It's not really a big shout, is it?
Well, West Ham to thrash Everton.
West Ham to win by 2 goals. How about that? That's a thrashing, isn't it, by their standards?
We'll give you that one.
The Big Weekend Shout is brought to you by MyChris, connecting people and business with a personal touch.
Thanks for the predictions, guys. Bob, there is the culmination of the Bow Dog Quiz this weekend.
That's right. It's at Rock Bottom in Telawi in Bangsa.
Yeah.
It's the final. The prize is a trip to the UK to watch the team of your choice for two people. But you've got to register. Bowdog Football Asia. Get on the internet.
Probably too late to register now, but go along and cheer on Arvin. Am I right?
Yeah, I'll be there for the final, giving it my all. Let's see how that goes. Looking forward to the final day of the season on Sunday.
Brilliant stuff. Right, that's it. We're done for now. I'm going to say thank you, Gogolin.
Cheers.
Thank you, Arvin.
Thank you, guys. Rock and roll.
Thank you, Bob Holmes.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back on Monday. Bye-bye.
Thank Friday. It's football every Friday at 8 p.m. on BFM 89.9. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.